Welcome to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
No doubt about that.
No stinking lawyers.
Good stuff, good stuff. Hey, it's Saturday. Welcome to another edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. We're streaming live from the East Side Ranch. Here today.
It's Harry's headquarters.
Harry's headquarters. I like that. I'm Harry Alexander, Bunker de France across the way.
That's where I am.
In Los Angeles or Orange County, it is Todd Roberts. Howdy.
That's where he am.
Howdy. As Minnie Pearl used to say, don't touch my sales tag.
I'm so proud to be here. Don't touch the sales tag.
Don't tug on the tags, fella.
So you in Orange County?
What do you think? Things are free?
Yeah, are you at home or in West Hollywood?
No, I'm in Orange County with Nola. Because she took me out for my birthday last night, even though it's early, but... Mm-hmm. We went to
celebrate for another month.
See, and you know, in that way, you get more birthday stuff. I mean, you know, the whole month could be a birthday month.
Hey, the birthday
well, I've
month.
Always I okay. believed in birthday weeks. A birth week.
All right. All right.
Yeah. Hey, no, I can't get anybody to sign on with me.
Yeah. Well, sorry, pal. Yeah. We have. We got nothing.
Well, wait a minute.
That's
first
not
of
true.
All, you need to do the. This is a news flash.
Oh, I need to.
About calling in.
Well, I'll get to that in just a bit. We're gonna run an experiment here, and see. I know there are folks who are listening to our live stream.
They better be.
And those who are, if you want to participate in the program. We can do that. I think we can do that now. I'm hoping it worked earlier. So
we got everything we own that's crossable.
So it's a phone number to call. So you can be part of the program if you like. 520-487-1877 is the number. 520-487-1877. And there'll be a beautiful staff assistant taking your call.
Oh, you mean Bubba?
Yeah, Bubba.
Hey, so, you know, and this is really important. If you want us to do this and it works, call in because it's a test. And, you know, we'll even recognize that you called. We'll talk to you by name.
Well, of course we will. Because your name will pop up. Yeah. No, it won't. Uh-huh. But it doesn't matter. But in any event...
And you don't have to give your name. You can give somebody else's name.
There you go. That's always...
Or your alias. You
sure.
Know,
why
like
not?
Like Bad Bob from Buckaroo.
There you go. Hey, we had him on the show.
Yeah.
Anywho, that's what's going on. And now it's time for Bunker's Bovine...
Well, this is another...
Madness.
Your weekly... dose of Bunker's Bunkhouse, and I have my own personal sponsor for this one.
Uh-oh.
Range Magazine.
Okay.
I want everybody that hasn't heard of it to look it up, for everybody that's ever read it to get a subscription, because I'll tell you what, this is about cow people, farmers, sheep herders. It's written and produced by those type of folks, and the photos in there are people that take on their own ranches, their own mm-hmm. farms, mm-hmm. and it is political. So that's my disclaimer.
Okay.
But so if you're some flaming liberal out there, you might not want to be listening. But if you're a flaming liberal, you're probably not listening to this show.
Yeah,
anyway.
For sure.
But anyhow, that's my
just to troll us.
That's my new unofficial sponsor, Range Magazine.
All right.
Okay, now we're going to start out, and again, this is the good, the bad, and the bovine, and we start out with today being the 16th of August, but before we do today, we travel back 3 days in time, not linear, but just ambling along, and then after we do today, which is the 16th still, we will flash forward into the future, for another 3 days.
Wowzers.
Now, starting. Time travel. And also, I want to open this up a little bit for you and Todd. Mm-hmm. When I do one of these dates, if you got a comment, I want to hear it. If a caller has a comment, I want to hear it.
Okay. 520-487-1877 is the phone number.
Okay, that was great, Harry. I used to do this.
I know, I used to do this stuff.
Okay. Okay. Anyhow, we're going to start with the 13th of August.
I don't like that date. Hmm? I don't like that date. You said we could comment. I don't like that date.
Okay, well, that's fine. It's
well,
over.
My
it's
comment
done.
Is,
just, you
Harry, this, Harry how, this ain't CBS. How'd we let you in on this gig?
Well,
what
anyway.
Happened? I don't know.
No, anyhow, that date, formerly known as the 13th of August, 1860, a young lady named Phoebe Ann Moses was born. Now, she was better known as Annie Oakley, an American sharpshooter and star of Buffalo Bill's Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she was a looker. She had a waist. She had a teeniest, tiniest waist, you know.
You wrap your finger and index finger and thumb around it.
Well,
right?
you could place the thumb of one hand and the thumb of the other hand, and then the two middle fingers on the both hands, put them together, and
goodness.
The waist was a little bit bigger.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyhow, and now we're going to move up into the future to the August 14th. Actually, this is going back further, 1498. Christopher Columbus, who was hated by the American Indian, and rightfully so, lands at the mouth of the Orinoco River, which is now Venezuela, on his third trip to America. He had three trips and he never did get it right. Anyhow, that's so much with Chris. Now, the 15th of August, 1914, this is something that Mr. Theodore Roosevelt was very proud of. The Panama Canal opens officially to traffic as a shortcut between the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean, so you didn't have to face the storms around the Cape Horn, which were nasty. Now, today in 1899, Glenn Strange, better known as Pee-wee to his amigos, mm-hmm. and you go, why would a guy 6'7" be called Pee-wee?
Because that's what they did.
That's what cowboys did. They had his.
Don't forget that in the Harlem Globetrotters, the bald guy was named Curly.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the really most important things about Glenn Strange is he was born in Weed, New Mexico, which is still a tiny cow town.
It still exists, huh?
It still exists.
Where's it located? Is that in southern New Mexico?
Centralish.
Okay.
Minusculely south.
Near Silver Spring?
No.
No. Near Ruidoso? No.
No, it's not too far from Ruidoso.
Okay.
But his cousin, Cactus Mack, who was also born the same year, mm-hmm. was also from Weed. And we acknowledged him last week.
Yes, we did.
And
his other cousin,
Rex Allen.
Thank you.
And he was born over here, Wilcox.
Yeah.
He was born cross-eyed. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
He was cross-eyed for years, and he got his eyes straightened. I don't know how he did that. Anyhow.
Jack Elam School of Ophthalmology.
Yes, exactly. He did hundreds of odors. He was well known as Sam Newton, the barkeep on Gunsmoke, and he was Frankenstein three times.
Yes, he was. And he was also the villain in the Lone Ranger debut.
Oh. Butch Cassidy.
No, Cavendish.
Well, that's right. That wrong era. That's a real guy and a fictitious guy. But he was Butch Cavendish.
Yes, he was.
Because he was big and he was bad.
He was.
Wasn't too bright, but he was big bad.
That's all that matters.
That's all that counts. Okay, now I have another person born on the 16th. You have to call her?
No.
Oh, I thought you were looking at it. Another guy born on the 16th of August, but this was in 1959, which is fairly modern.
Mm-hmm.
And we had his brother on the show, mm-hmm. Danny Ohako.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, we did.
Great show. Well, I want to talk about a guy that I think if all the cowboys I've known, this guy, I think he stands out, if nothing else, just for his pure dedication and hard work and just bringing the art of a horseman up to what it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I look at, by the way, his name is Jeff O'Hockle, and I look at Jeff and I say, gee, that's the cowboy I'd like to be. Because this guy, but anyhow, let's see, what else have I got here about him? Okay, horseman, professional farrier. He has an ELPO, it's ELPO, which is a certificate. It's an equine lameness prevention organization, and that is the top drawer mm-hmm. of farriers.
Oh.
That means you can not only shoe a horse, you can diagnose problems, you can do corrective shoeing.
Wow.
And I mean, it's like the top level. And this is just...
You don't want your horse going pigeon-toed.
Yeah, not unless you want to end up on your new one. But just to show you, Jeff comes from the O'Hockle Ranch, the Chevron Butte Ranch up at Winslow. And Jeff, Danny, there were three brothers and three sisters. Two of the brothers and a sister went into the stunt business and had other lives. But Jeff, while we were out in California, he would hunt down some of the best people in the different things, like he was studying farrier. He found a guy that was in rope work, but he did the old Spanish style rope work.
Okay.
You know, he would, at the drop of a hat, he would go down and help somebody gather cattle rather than work on a picture. And he loved working on the pictures. Now, just to give you an idea how Jeff did as a stuntman, he was photo double for Sylvester Stallone on, I think, three of the Rambo pictures.
Wow.
And also, this guy's so dedicated. He was in the gym constantly anyway. But they had a rule that Jeff would always be on second unit if he wasn't working, because body-wise, build-wise, Jeff was better built than Stallone. And the other thing is, Jeff could run, uh-huh. and Stallone just kind of tottered.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I could go on and on, but, you know, I just wanted to say happy birthday, Jeff, and I thank the world of you. I'm sorry that I've lost track of visiting and all that kind of stuff, but amigo. And, by the way, he teaches clinics. All kinds of clinics, horsemanship, farrying. He has kind of a little camp thing he does out there at his place out in California. And if you're interested in the cowboy life and you just want to know about somebody extra special, look him up. You can find him. You can Google him and find him there. But I can't say enough about this guy as far as being a horseman and a good example of what a horseman is.
Okay.
Yeah. And I hope the family's listening. Now, moving on to August 17, that's the day after, that's tomorrow actually, 1786, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier, came into the world, and he had a very famous quote as he left Congress after he did not get reelected. Gentlemen, you may all go to hell, and I will go to Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
perfect.
I like that. It's a good sentiment. Anybody, all you liberals out there can all go to hell, and we're going to stay in the West. Okay, now, speaking of liberals, though,
uh-oh.
August 18th, 1936, Mr. Robert Redford was born. Now, he's a liberal, but he's also got his head in the right place in some areas.
Sometimes.
And everybody knows about his westerns. Well, I wanted to just mention four of his that he directed.
Mm-hmm.
They were modern westerns or neo-westerns. We'll start with the Milagro Beanfield War, 1988.
Great movie.
I love that movie.
Great movie.
And, you know, this guy's a hell of a director. His second movie, A River Runs Through It, 1992. That's a hell of a movie. And the book that it's based on is actually three novels put together by, I think it was Campbell or something like that. But I highly recommend that book. I've read it a couple of times, and it's really interesting. And then, of course, The Horse Whisperer in 1998. And that was, I think, Don Edwards, the balladeer. That was, he was the ranch foreman and got to sing a song.
Mm-hmm.
And if you love Western music, cowboy music, go out there and get a CD or an LP or a 33 or a 45 or, or, you know, 38, 44, 50, yeah, whatever. And then the last one was the Conspirator. 2010, and that's an interesting one because that's about Mary Segal, I think it was, the woman that was tried as a participant in the Lincoln assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Surratt.
Surratt, thank you. And she was acquitted. Well, you got anything to say about Mary Surratt there, Todd?
Well, unfortunately, she was hung because they could not envision that her son and his fellow conspirators, including John Wilkes Booth, could be conspiring to kill the president in her house, which was also a boarding house, and she not know. There's a lot of evidence to seriously suggest that she was innocent. The others were not, and she is an unfortunate victim of circumstance by association.
And also the press of the day.
They were going to put some heads on the spike. They were going to put somebody's head on a spike, mm-hmm. and they got several. And,
well, it's like the doctor that treated Booth,
Mudd.
He didn't know he was
Dr. Mudd.
Dr. Mudd.
Yeah, and all they could come up with is that, not that he knew anything about it, the assassination, or that he was planning on it, but he had some... He had donated money to the Confederacy. So that's what they hung their guilt on him over. And that he lived in Virginia. But there were a lot of people who lived in Virginia.
fought for the North. Yeah.
Who fought for the North and sided with the Northern cause. And it's sad. There were innocent victims, but this is what happens when we have... The mob gets out of control, and this is one of those times. Usually the mob lays a path of destruction that is much worse, just as the French Revolution,
mm-hmm.
or, there are other ones that we can think of that unfortunately just laid waste to a lot of innocent lives.
Universal did it best with the villagers, with the pitchforks and the torches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can think of the great Steve McQueen film with Charles Durning, Enemy of the People, mm-hmm. which is a play by Ibsen.
Yeah,
that's or Chekhov, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Basically it's the story. It came out around the same time as Jaws. It's the same story of one man looking up and going, wait a minute, things are not safe in our town. The children are dying off from drinking the water. We need to do something. We need to drastically make a change here. And the powers that be say no. If you do that, our town will be labeled as a horrible place, a death trap, and nobody will ever come here again.
The springs, which were the economy of the town, are tainted.
Right. Yeah. Just like with Chief Brody and Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
We're not closed. These beaches are going to be open. Unfortunately, when you don't stand up to the mob, it devours everything.
And that's,
I think that's why the mob and the blob sound so much alike, because they basically do the same thing.
Yeah. The same mentality.
All right.
I'm going to finish up the course here. August 19, 1812, during the War of 1812, the U.S. Constitution earned its nickname Old Ironsides after defeating the British frigate Guerrier. Why do the British frigates have a French name?
Well, because it was a captured French ship.
Oh, okay. And anyhow, off the coast of Nova Scotia. People don't think about that. That, you know, the revolution actually was in Canada, Nova Scotia.
1812, War of 1812. Yeah,
yeah.
A lot of Canadian action happening there. Just lots of action up in the Canadian area. We got to do our first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you. And we'll be back with much more of whatever it is we're doing.
Anything and everything.
After these important messages, stay tuned.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
You know, these Arizona cows are so different. Back in New York, we don't fight cows. We just milk them.
This is the Voices of the West.
That sounds like it could be some cow milking music.
Oh, that milk cow to that. I'm playing air fiddle here.
And doing a damn fine job.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, and Todd Roberts with you on this Saturday, 520-487-1877.
Call or be square.
It was just responding to whatever was in the speaker on the television over where Todd is.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that I'm watching television.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, fellas. I get distracted sometimes. I just caught a guy on Instagram who has stripped naked in his kitchen and he's lathered up his whole body with mayonnaise.
Okay.
And there's no explanation.
But then again,
you know, there was no explanation. For most of the women I've dated in my life until I met Nola.
There you go.
So
he's looking for Swiss cheese to slap on that mayonnaise.
Anywho, if you'd like to get involved in our conversation and our program here,
you are certainly welcome
to do so at your own risk. 520-487-1877 is the phone number.
And there's some people out there, and we know who you are. And we know you're probably listening, so if you don't call in, we're gonna grief you.
We'll find you.
Yeah.
All right, what do we want to do next?
How about a B to Z?
Okay. Let me find him here. There we go. All right, let's see. I got three of them, but I'm not going to do all three of them right now.
One at a time.
Yeah. First one is called Trigger Fingers. It's a 1939 movie from Victory Pictures Corporation.
Yeah.
Directed by legendary B-movie director Sam Neufield.
Oh, yeah.
It stars Tim McCoy, Ben Corbett, and Harley Wood. Also features the usual henchmen like Ted Adams, Ralph Peters, and Kenny Duncan. The starring bad guy is Carlton Young. He played Dick Tracy's younger brother in the Dick Tracy series, serial of 1937. And Young became one of John Ford's favorites in his later years, in Young's later years. He appeared in The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance and uttered the line, "This is the West, sir. When the legend becomes fact, print the legend."
Print the legend.
He's also the prosecuting attorney of Woody Strode in Sergeant Rutledge.
Yep. He did a great job.
He was a great actor.
One of those guys that is overlooked.
Yeah.
You know, and didn't appear in many starring roles, but wow.
But high up on the character actors.
I think so. The plot of this picture centers around a bunch of criminals headed by Young, who, well, they're cattle rustlers.
No.
And if you watch it on YouTube, they could be cattle wrestlers.
WWE.
Yeah, I know. McCoy is a U.S. Marshal, Lightning Bill Carson, who goes undercover with Corbett and Wood to catch the bad guys. They impersonate some gypsies to snag the rustlers, and this movie, particular movie, was the last of the Lightning Bill Carson features. What I found interesting in this particular film is that it could be considered a modern-day Western. And the reason I say that, it's set in the 1930s, but there's automobiles along with the horses.
Okay? A neo-Western.
Yeah, and the horses and wagons, and modern-day Western for the 1930s. Good action. You can find it on the YouTube.
You know, a footnote to that, it was Jim McCoy loved to play Spaniards, Mexicans, Chinese guys, and gypsies. He
loved disguises, and you wouldn't even know it's him except for the big hat.
Hey, senor, is my sombrero too big?
I love Tim McCoy, and I mean, I've got
a horseman too.
Yeah, I have his biography, autobiography, and what a man!
And
what,
and to think he lived, you know, his salad days were down in Nogales. Neil and I knew about it, and we talked about going down there 100 times, but we chickened out.
Rio Rico, he had a ranch down that way, and he was admitted to the Fort Bliss, I think it's Fort Bliss Army Hospital at Fort Huachuca. And he died about 2 weeks before my son was born there at the Huachuca Hospital.
You know, another thing too is he's in the big circus museum down in Florida, in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, yeah.
He and Sunset Carson are the only cowboys that are in the Circus Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and that would be in Sarasota, I believe.
Yes, yes.
And McCoy was,
He worked right up to the end.
I vacillate between, you know, which B actor do I really like? I like them all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who do I like the most? That is tough. I like Hoot Gibson, Tim McCoy, Johnny Mac Brown.
Wait a minute. You're missing Harry Carey.
Harry Carey.
How do you pick one out of those?
You can't.
It's not.
I don't think so. I mean,
you can have one. I'm always, it's like the one I'm watching now.
Yeah, that's the favorite exactly. And I've got one more Tim McCoy movie, and then I think I have seen all of them. We've got more than 800 Westerns under our belt.
Well, you're close to 900 now, aren't you? You and Sue.
I think we're.
I know you're over 800.
Maybe close.
You told me that. You know, a long time ago.
A couple weeks ago. Okay, so probably close to 900.
And then includes, if you take all the ones you saw without Sue.
Uh huh.
Wow.
Well, and that includes all the Hoppies, 66 Hoppies. the 42 Mosquitoes.
Range busters.
And working on the Tim McCoys. Haven't seen all the Ciscos yet. Oh. Working on that. Working on the, who else? Tim McCoy, Johnny Mac Brown. Seen those.
You're working on the Douglas Fairbanks Silent.
Those are really good. Doug Fairbanks, man. Oh, my God. And
how you doing on Tom Mix?
Tom Mix, I got four or five of them down. Those are kind of more difficult to find on the YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a cheap bastard. I don't pay for it. So.
Oh, no. Never pay for a movie.
If I can find it, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And
there we go.
Resourceful.
Yeah. All right, so 520-487-1877. If you would like to get involved in our program today, it is an experimental thing. I don't know if it'll work, but I'm sure somebody will call eventually, and we'll find out.
They'll call after the show's
after
over
the
and say, what a great idea it was. Yeah. You do it again.
Exactly. Todd, what do you got?
Well, you know, what's interesting about our program is that we can have absolutely no idea what the direction is and no idea of what the subject matter is, and we still seem to offend someone out there. And I think that's what's beautiful.
That's our goal.
We do it well.
We just, somebody says, oh, close your eyes and throw those darts at the board. And you don't hit the, and you don't worry, he won't hit the dart board. No, we inevitably hit the dart board somehow, and I think that's a testament to our sarcasm and our lack of knowledge
mm-hmm.
in general about everything and ourselves especially.
I
do want to mention that, as I kind of said earlier, that Nola took me to the... We went to the Pageant of the Masters. If you ever have the chance, just do yourself a favor and go. It's in Laguna Beach. It's fabulous. We saw, I was expecting to see just paintings recreated live with human beings, which we did. We did see that. One of the reasons I always wanted to go was just I'm a lover of art. But our good friend that we lost, Phil Spangenberger, was once in Passion of the Masters. He was asked by them to come and portray George Washington with his horse.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he did. And I said, well, how did you get the horse to stand still? And he goes, and not do any business on the stage? I said, well, I wasn't going to go there, but he goes, sedatives, son, sedatives. it was, they did just not just paintings, they also did bronze sculptures, which were amazing, absolutely breathtaking, truly. But the thing that was the most amazing to me was they centered on, it was called the Gold Coast, so they hit museums up and down the coast of California. So, of course, they hit Balboa Park, and they hit this one and that one. They hit both Getty Museums, and they hit the Bowers and so on. But when they went to did the Getty Museum in Malibu, the Getty Villa, they didn't do a paint. They did one painting, but the other thing they did was these basically chess pieces. Chess, I did not know, was invented in India.
Yeah.
A thousand years ago or something. And he traveled all the way to India to buy a chess set.
Oh, wow.
And which was pretty amazing if you think about it. And it was all carved in either ivory or marble.
Wow.
And they had five of the pieces, standalone pieces from that chess set, there represented at the Pageant of the Masters. Truly remarkable. That's the only time we were there of all the things we saw that looked real. Everything else, you could see the face of the person in the painting and this and that. It was magnificent. They were beautiful, don't get me wrong. But when I was looking at those chess pieces, they looked like they were real chess pieces. The just incredible. I couldn't get over it. I just, Nolan and I, we had a lovely time. So if you do get a chance, go.
Did you know that some of the old Rajas back then used to play chess on horseback?
Well, I've seen live chess games where, you know, the
players are on horseback.
Or on the board, and
Yes, huge board. I always remember History of the World Part 1 with Mel Brooks and Harvey Korman playing chess in King Louis the 16th's court. And there are some very memorable moments, but concerning as though that this is a family show, we won't go into those. I will just suggest that anyone who has an interest, go out, rent it, stream it, whatever, watch it just for the scene that on the chessboard, and of course, the Last Supper. The Last Supper is truly classic.
It's a documentary, you know that.
Just as Mel Brooks plays the waiter to Jesus and the disciples, the apostles at the Last Supper, and just as he's about to walk out into the dining room to take their order to greet the table, the owner of the restaurant says, "Push the fish, it's 3 days old." But the chess scene is just, it's too good.
All right, we got to do our next commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. The three amigos with you, Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, and Todd Roberts. We'll be right back after this.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, 200 full-service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Do you get back here, you pass? Can I stay to winter? Ain't no way that nobody's gonna leave this town. Hell, I was born here, and I was raised here, and dadgummit, I'm gonna die here. And no sideways bushwhacking, hornswoggling, crocker is gonna rattle my biscuit cutter.
Now, who can argue with that?
This is the Voices of the West.
We are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, Todd Roberts with you, and by golly, that is some authentic Western gibberish.
Yes, it is. And you're shooting, you see. But you know what? We got us a guest here in the studio, the Black Pussycat.
Yes, indeed. My tuxedo has emerged from whatever hiding place she had and is...
Stalking,
wanting to chew wires. She does this on a regular basis. She'll hop up on the desk and start chewing wires and...
pushing buttons.
And pushing buttons. They do that, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, cat. Ew. Wow.
Yeah, you're fine. You're fine. It's not time for supper yet.
He puts up with me, yeah. It's a good cat. Yeah.
Yeah, she's my rescue. It's my red cat.
How come they don't have rescue cows or rescue goats and stuff like that? Well, they do actually.
You know, you need to start. You need to start like what Steve Boyce did.
Yeah.
With horsing around, you cow around.
Cowing around, yeah. Cowing around town.
Yeah. You got a stunt man you want to talk about.
Yeah, I got something here. You know, because we didn't really have any topics, I thought I'd look, see if I could find something to talk about. And I found me an old silent documentary. And it's just called Romance of a Vanishing Race. It's three historic films. They were shot in 1911, 1916, and 1921. Runs 63 minutes, is silent, black and white, of course. And it's done by Rich Heapy Films, which are Dominion Boys. And it's closed caption, so you could actually watch this one.
Wow.
And anyhow, the director and producer is Chip Ritchie. The executive producer and producer is Steve R. Heppy. That's the Reppy Heppy guys in the title. The soundtrack was done by Jay Atkins. You say, oh, wait a minute, how can a silent movie have a soundtrack? Which was common back then. It was just live music. But this was done for the film prevention here. And the director of the cinematographer, director of photography, Joseph R. Dixon. Now, an interesting thing is he actually shows up again. And because it's three different programs, he shows up again in program two, which I'll get to. But I'll kind of tell you about program number one is The Romance of the Vanishing People, 1916, ran 21 minutes. And it was it depicts the lives of various tribes in the American West, including Navajo, Pueblo, Crow, and Hopi. And then the second one was Rodman Wanamaker Expedition of Citizenship to the Mork. Well, that didn't make sense. Rodman, and that's just how I copied it down. That's what it said. Rodman Wanamaker Expedition of Citizenship to the North American Indian. And this is. I get it now, yeah. Anyhow, that was 1921.
That print's getting awful close to the paper, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was 26 minutes. And the director, again, I mentioned Mr. Dixon. It was Dr. Joseph Dixon. And the expedition among the American is what he did is he took the American flag and went around to various tribes and villages and camps and explained the meaning of the American flag. That's kind of an asshole-y thing kind of do, I think.
You know, well, okay.
That's just my opinion. And you know me, I'm not opinionated.
Yeah, I know.
And anyhow, it was filmed... part of it was a large project funded by the department store magnate Rodman Wanamaker, known as Wanamaker Expedition. Anyway, they was a couple of them, and they went out in 1908 and 1913, and then came up with something to show people in 1916.
Okay,
and it ended up in this thing. And the third program was Winter Farm Life on a Crow Reservation, 1921, only ran 8 minutes. But one of the unique things about this is the French Field Marshal Ferdinand Foch, who was in charge of the French Army in World War I.
Yep.
He did a tour of all that stuff and was very impressed with the American Indian. And I rest my case.
And then he wonders why the Frenchmen wouldn't fight like the Indians.
Yes. Well, actually, you know, if you think about it, in the French and Indian War, before the American Revolution.
Yeah.
The French fought like the Indians.
Look, the French stopped, their military stopped being after World War One.
Yeah.
I don't care any, you can argue with it, you can argue with me, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just going to stand by that statement.
The only thing about the French army was, and it had nothing to do with World War One, it was the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah.
They could kick butt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the French army, they couldn't even find butt.
I know. Yeah, Buster Crabbe played Legionnaire in, what was that? It was a series.
It was a TV series?
TV series in 1955 or 56. Yeah.
Captain something.
And
his son was in it, too.
Yeah, and Fuzzy was.
Fuzzy Knight was.
Fuzzy was in that as well, yeah.
And, yeah.
All right.
And, you know, the only army worse than the French army was the Italian. But the nice thing about the Italian army is after an attack, you can go out there and pick up all their rifles because they would drop them and run. Sorry, I hope I didn't offend any Italians out there.
Too damn bad. I mean, history proves it up. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know. All right, shall I do another B?
Yeah, do another B.
Oh, come on.
Actually, I don't know if this is a B. I don't think it is a B. It doesn't qualify as a B, but it's a damn fine film.
B plus.
Yeah, it's
A minus.
It's called Apache Rifles.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 1964 movie starring Audie Murphy as a cavalry captain who's been assigned to Arizona to catch a renegade group of Indians who've been terrorizing the settlers. Michael Dante stars as Red Hawk, the son of Chief Victorio. Red Hawk and Murphy are trying to compete for the same woman, who is Linda Lawson, and she's with the Indian Agency as a teacher. But what Murphy doesn't know is that she is half Indian, and he has total disgust of the Indians because his father's command was wiped out by an Indian attack. That'll do it, I reckon.
Hey, the Indians got the win. Anyway.
Murphy's attitude toward the Indians is slowly starting to change when he is relieved of his command. A colonel, John Archer, takes over. Meantime, a group of town folk want to encourage fighting between the whites and the Indians. Headed up by Mike Greer, played by L.Q. Jones, the new Indian agent is murdered with an arrow stuck in his back. And Murphy unravels the plot by identifying the arrow of a tribe that is not around that area. In fact, it was an Arapaho arrow as opposed to an Apache arrow. So anyway, let's see here. He does get LQ to confess to the murder of the agent in front of Red Hawk, and peace is achieved, finally. Lots of action in this film because it's directed by William Whitney. He directed a ton of Hoppy films as well as other westerns, been acknowledged as one of the best action directors around. Decent cast as well. J. Pat O'Malley does a great job as the doctor. Robert Brubaker is the first sergeant. Find this film on the YouTube.
You're right when you say you question it being a B because most of Audie's movies were a grade above B.
Yeah.
And if they weren't A's, they should have been.
Well, this was released at a time when B's were a thing of the past.
Yeah.
You know, like 5-10 years.
But it still played the same theaters that the B's played.
It did, yeah. This was in color. It was pretty doggone good.
I've seen it several times, and I enjoy it every time I see it.
Yeah, so there you go. I guess
I heard a beep beep. Was that a phone ringing?
That was Todd's thing going off.
Oh.
Hey, we got to do our last commercial break here. So let's do that. On Abel Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you. We'll be back after these very important messages.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
I'm Mr. Ed.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
You're not going to use the story, Mr. Scott?
No, sir.
This is the West, sir. When the legend becomes fact, print the legend.
This is the Voices of the West.
She's tied to the tracks. And here comes the hero.
Handsome Bob.
Welcome back to Abel Franzi's Voices of the West.
She gets up, and then he looks at her, and he looks at his horse, and he kisses his horse.
Dudley, do right.
You know, that's elbow pumping music.
It is. Harry Alexander, Bunker to France, Todd Roberts with you on the Disjointed Voices of the West program. Actually, it's not disjointed.
I think we're very organized this time.
You
I'm
know,
surprised.
Kind of, yeah.
Almost.
I am surprised as
rather
well.
Really so.
But I'm easily just, yeah.
Discombobulated.
Yeah, you can surprise me easily. Ay.
Yeah.
All right, what do we want to do next?
Well, I've got another doc that I watched, this one was really, really interesting. It's called Our Spirit Doesn't Speak English, Indian Boarding Schools. Mm. And this came out in June of 2008. It was 80 minutes long from Rich Heap Company again. I won't go through all of the people that did that kind of stuff. But the cast is kind of interesting. One of the people, what was her name? Ross. That was her first name here. Okay, I can't think of. Oh, here we go. Gail Ross. She is a great great-granddaughter of Chief Ross of the Cherokee people.
Oh.
So, ah. She was the narrator on it. And also you had August Schellenberg, who did the voice work on it. But what was really neat, there was a gentleman, Andrew Windy Boy, and they did an interview with him. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, it was moving because he talked about, and this, you know, this isn't the, back in the 1800s. This is in the early 30s of today, and he just, you know, it breaks your heart because what they did to him, and just the way that they humiliated him, they beat him, you know, for speaking his own language. And he said, I didn't know any language but my language,
sure.
And they beat me because I you know, sometimes I would slip into it. And just, I mean, it was really a moving experience.
That was a situation that involved a lot of folk, a lot of Europeans,
mm-hmm.
who did not speak the English language when they came over here. And then they're put into the school system, and they can't speak English. And so, you know, they get all kinds of...
They punish them. They punish them in the dunce corner.
Or they wrap a ruler across the knuckles.
Of course, that's still like Catholic school today.
Well, I know this because my mom did not speak English when she started school. And that's what the teachers did. They wrapped a ruler across her knuckles to make sure she would speak English.
Yeah. Well, one of the other people in this was Kevin Gove. He was Assistant Secretary of Indian Affairs. And Henrietta Mann, a Cheyenne Arapaho woman, who was Professor Emeritus at Montana State University. These were the people, modern people, that were commenting on this. And this was part of the Circle of Life series. And it's told from the American Indian perspective. And it really uncovers a really dark history about the U.S. government's policy. And also gives voice to countless Indian children who are forced through the system.
Mm-hmm.
From the mid-1800s through 1960s, and I can remember being up in Phoenix and going by the Indian school and thinking how neat it was,
mm-hmm.
not really realizing the dark story
what
behind
it was,
it. But anyhow, the government forced Native American children into boarding schools to civilize and educate them into the ways of the white man, where they were met with intolerable cruelty. Was inflicted on them, and it just, you know, it's a very dark page in our history, and the Canadians are doing a better job of facing up to it because their system was just as bad,
yeah,
maybe worse, and the number of kids that they're going out there now to some of these schools with the devices where they can look in the ground and finding all of these unmarked burials,
mm-hmm.
hundreds of them.
Well, the Native Americans that we've had on this program, I think, have very aptly described what situations were like back then and how situations are today. And I'm very glad that we had the opportunity to speak with those folks.
Many more.
And have them back to speak with as well.
Yeah.
Because it is truly a learning experience, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know if you had...
I'm very familiar with a lot of it, but...
It's
still new.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it you involved you, but it's just not right.
Well, you know, see, I've got Bass, Cherokee, Powhatan, and, as I say, European trash blood in me.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, you know, I knew that I had Cherokee blood because of my grandmother. She was always calling me her little wild Indian.
Mm-hmm.
But I also was made very much aware of that in Texas back in those days, which there were a lot of mixed marriages, is that they weren't talked about.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've got pictures of my great grandmother and my mom.
Wow.
You know, and that's one of my most prized possessions.
Sure. Yeah. Todd, any final thoughts? We got about a minute left.
Well, you know, my mom raised us all, telling us our whole lives that we were Cherokee. We were Cherokee.
Until
so
Eve.
My grandparents had their 50th wedding anniversary back in Stigler, Oklahoma, and we went, accompanied my mom, and, you know, to be in support of her and support of my grandparents, and we're back there, and my mother was one of five sisters, so there were some of the sisters there, not all of them, and were there, and somehow this subject came up, and my one of my aunts looks over at my mother and says, "We're not Cherokee." My mom says, "Yes, we are," and they started to get a little heated. And my that aunt looks up and goes, "We're Choctaw."
Oh.
And my mother said, "No, we're Cherokee."
The hell we are.
"No, we're Choctaw." And I was like, "Well, there's a C and an H there. That's, you know, starts both tribes off in their name. So maybe, you know, either one of you could be easily as right as the other." And they both looked at me and said, "Stay out of it." And so, but basically the story goes that my mother, well, my mother and her sisters, their grandfather married an Indian woman in Louisiana and or Mississippi, and they couldn't be there. They couldn't live there.
Uh-huh.
So they, this is around the turn of the century, they went up to Oklahoma to get away from the issues
Indian
that,
territory.
That were going to be around all
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And then, and they lived up there and they were happy and everything was fine. But I wasn't surprised once I got to Oklahoma and we were driving around, there's 94 tribes in Oklahoma.
And a lot of them share reservations.
Yeah, there's Apache, Oklahoma, and there's Seminole, Oklahoma, and there's Choctaw, Oklahoma. So, yeah, it's very prevalent there, and I just thought it was always a bit strange, but I think it's important to remember that forget all the little treaties or the re-amended treaties. There are 79 treaties, important major treaties that the U.S. government signed with the Native American population of this country that they broke. Then there's so many others beyond that, but there are 79 treaties that were written in stone, supposedly, which the U.S. government broke. So, you know, these are wrongs that are wrong today, yesterday, and tomorrow, and, you know, it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort to write them.
Well, right now, today, the Colorado River treaties that the U.S. government made with the Native people of Arizona, they're still fighting to get their rights because basically they have the majority of the water rights.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, nobody's observing it.
I think that a perfect example of this would be this movie that is called Americana. Anyway, it stars John Ritter, and he is the president of the United States. And America is running out of cash, and the Native Americans aren't going to fund them anymore. And so the Americathon, that's the movie, Americathon. So they hold a giant Americathon to raise money so they can continue the government and the stuff. And the Indians are doing like, yeah, right. You know, it's really a good movie.
Funny movie,
one that John Ritter did not like talking about, and I don't know why, but I loved it, and it's hard to find.
Yeah.
But if you find it, watch it. All right, that's
ever notice how good movies sometimes are hard to find?
I know.
Because they comment on something.
I know, social commentary.
Well, wait a minute. What, Bunker, what are you saying? Hold on a second. What? What?
Did I say that?
Bunker, are you... Bunker, I won't tolerate this.
Don't talk.
Okay,
don't,
Netflix
don't quote
has
me. They'll
everything.
Come after me.
Do you know how many times I've heard this? I don't know why you have all those DVDs. Netflix has everything.
By golly.
Everything.
Yeah.
And I'll go, really? Does it have the 300 Spartans?
You realize
that what? I don't. Let me look it up. No, it doesn't have it. Does it have the bridge over Ramajan, John Cassavetes?
No,
I can't find it. I can't find that.
Doesn't
countless
exist.
Films. Yeah. They don't exist. They're not in there.
Yeah.
Try finding them. They got all the new stuff. But you know what? If I was interested in watching the new stuff, I'd be paying $24 to go to a movie theater and eat stale popcorn and flat soda from be served by a child who doesn't know where they parked their car because they can't find it on their phone.
And they can't make change.
They can't make change, Bunker. You apparently are going to the wrong theater, my friend.
You know, the bottom line is, if you don't have Birth of a Nation in your collection, there's something wrong with you.
I have it. I have it on my watch list.
I've said it, and I'll say it again. I got bad news for the movie industry. Everything you do, every shot, every close-up, every camera angle, every wide shot, every close-up, every zoom-in, every pan, every cut was created by D.W. Griffiths.
There you go.
So you've tried to erase him the best you can, but you can't.
Nope, deal with it.
And I'm not in favor of the content of his film. I'm in favor of his technique, his style, his editing, his camera angles, and his structure of story.
There you go.
So go live with that for the rest of eternity.
Okay,
older than the pyramids.
And also go out there. I have another film you need to go out and find, and it's out there, A Mormon Maid, made in 1917 under the Director General of Cecil D. DeMille. Very anti-LDS, right after Birth of a Nation. It's one of those films you should see.
We are way over how much.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. But,
it's a bonus show.
Is there ice cream involved?
There might be.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Silent movies might be one of our topics to talk about.
Yeah.
In future programs. Maybe we'll do that next week. I don't know. We don't have anything for next week.
Silent movies next week.
Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, Todd Roberts with you. Thanks for listening.
78, 79, 80 O's. What the heck did we do this week?
So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzing's Voices of the West.